Session 3, Pastoral Care Through Preaching, calling this session The Care of Souls and Preaching. Now, Jesus could have selected other occupations to identify with. He certainly knew about being a good carpenter, but he did not call himself the good carpenter. And while he told agricultural stories like the parable of the sower, he never called himself the good farmer. Instead, he called himself the good shepherd. Nelson's Bible Dictionary makes some interesting observations about shepherds. A shepherd was well acquainted with his sheep. I knew them, Jesus said in John 10:27. Well, do our people know that we know them? While pastoral visitation may be a relic of the past in many communities, our people need to know that we know who they are and what's going on in their lives. It was interesting to hear the comments on Nightline following the death of Mr. Rogers, the children's television host. As adults talked about looking forward to hearing Mr. Rogers say, I like you, that it was like the high point of their day as children. His acceptance of them came through. Well, do our people feel that we know them and accept them? A shepherd had found water for the sheep. Nelson's Dictionary continues, the still waters of Psalm 23:2 is offered as living water by Jesus in John 7:37 and 38. Pastoral preaching is life-giving preaching. It's offering the replenishing water of life to people. But we have to have life in order to give life. As Jeremiah 2 verse 13 says, my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and they have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. If we're trying to offer other than what is found only in Jesus, we will not have living water to share. A third job of a shepherd, according to Nelson's Dictionary, was to provide protection for the sheep. David stated his qualifications for taking on Goliath by telling about his handling of lions and bears in 1 Samuel 17. Through preaching that is aware of the dangers our people are facing, we assist them in being able to take up the shield of faith, Ephesians 6:16. Holding to the high view of the Bible, that the Bible takes of preaching, that faith comes by hearing, and what is heard comes by the preaching of Christ, Romans 10:17. See, Paul knew the list he gave in Romans 8, verse 35, were actual dangers that were very real possibilities for the people in the church in Rome. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Against the killing machine of the Roman army, there was no bodily protection Paul could offer for the band of believers. Instead, Paul focused on another kind of protection, being safe in God's love, not separated, but more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Paul expands the safekeeping to include onslaughts from principalities and powers in the final verses of Romans chapter 8. True eternal security, not a doctrinal issue for a theologian's debate, but an indication of divine affection. Our Father's love will not be kept from us, not by height, nor depth, nor anything else. In all creation, well, are we letting our people know about that kind of protection, that God is for them, no matter what may be against them? A shepherd's presence brought comfort to the sheep. Nelson's article on shepherds concludes, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Psalm 23:4 puts in the mouths of the sheep to say, says it this way, your rod, your staff, they comfort me. Pastoral preaching brings comfort to our people. Comfort ye, comfort my people, Isaiah 40 verse 1 says. And the messianic mission statement in Isaiah 61:2 says, to comfort all who mourn. You see, it is a great honor to be a pastor. The word is based on the Latin word for shepherd, and a common symbol of a pastor is the shepherd's staff. In John 14:12, Jesus said his followers who do the works would do the works that he did. He's the good shepherd, and doing his works today includes taking care of our flocks in the way that Jesus modeled. In discussing pastoral care and preaching, the nature of preaching in the ministry of the church itself needs to be discussed. Certainly in the New Testament, we see numerous examples of evangelistic preaching. Peter's Day of Pentecost message in Acts 2 and in Stephen's Acts chapter 7 sermon were impassioned defenses of the faith. But consider instead the approach taken in the rest of the New Testament. Paul, James, Peter, John, Jude, and the writer of Hebrews took a sharing with the already saved approach rather than an evangelistic approach. Now, no confusion here. Evangelistic preaching is needed in the church, but is evangelistic preaching with the focus on getting people saved the only sermon style that believers should get to hear? If a pastor measures the success of a sermon by how many people got saved, will there also be a healthy emphasis on seeing people grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ? Ephesians 4:15. Even as the Old Testament spends no time at all discussing the existence of God, God is the great I Am. The fool says in his heart there is no God, Psalm 14:1. The New Testament is written from the perspective of believer to believer. Even the gospel introduction, that you may know the truth concerning the things of which you have been informed, was written by Luke to Theophilus, a lover of God. John's statement, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name, John 20, verse 31. While this clearly from an evangelistic perspective, still takes the Old Testament presupposition of the existence of God. And in John's case, it's the Word that was there in the beginning. The Word was with God and the Word was God, John 1:1. In the remainder of the New Testament, the approach is believer to believer. While an effective way to lead someone to Christ is to take them down the Romans road with the familiar verses 3:23, 6:23, 10, 9, and 10 verses, the Romans that Paul wrote were already believers. Notice Paul greets them, to all God's beloved in Rome, who are called to be saints, 1:7. And he thanks God because your faith is being reported all over the world, in verse 8, 1:8. And he desires to be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, 1:12. And he calls this church he has never visited his brothers, 1:13. The doctrinal teaching of the first 11 chapters of Romans is therefore by chapters 12 to 15, where practical, everyday living out the gospel matters were discussed in light of the mercies of God, as you see in 12:1. Was Paul preaching to them through this letter to get them saved? No, he considered them already in the faith. He wrote to prepare them for a visit he hoped to make and to build up their already existing faith. Much of the evangelical church today does not operate this way. As Sunday after Sunday, people are hearing get saved messages when 98.9% of the people in the pews have already made decisions to follow Christ. An unfortunate consequence of the already saved only hearing messages about salvation is that they think they've already heard it all, that they've heard it all already. And if that's all the Bible is about, at least what they're hearing their preachers say because of every sermon coming out the same, they tune out and do not see the everyday significance of the Word of God. Hardness of the heart to the gospel occurs. Hearts of stone instead of hearts that beat with passionate love for Jesus. You see, it's not about making decisions. It's about making disciples. Biblical preaching takes a biblical approach to preaching. Unless your preaching environment is a totally pagan environment, a Mars Hill ministry, then most of your preaching is going to be in church settings and preaching to the ecclesia, the called out ones. This calls for a pastoral approach to preaching, feeding the flock. You see, we need evangelists who are true evangelists, people who will find innovative ways to take the gospel outside of the walls of the church building. George Whitefield and John Wesley preached in the open air in the 1700s to vast crowds, and we must find culturally appropriate ways to preach the gospel to unchurched people today. Perhaps a byproduct of taking this course is that some of you may sense more of a calling to evangelism instead of pastoral ministry. Well, great. Evangelists are needed. Similarly, if more preaching to the church emphasized equipping the saints, then perhaps more of our people would do the work of evangelists in their own circles of influence. Preaching to the church, preaching to believers, needs to follow the models shown in the writings of the New Testament. Even when Paul has some strong issues to address with the church in Corinth or Galatia, he does not consider them to have made false confessions. He considers He continues to call them brothers. Instead, he offers instruction and clarification about matters related to faith. Well, let's conclude this look at shepherds and a pastoral approach to preaching by looking at what is considered by Bible scholars an example of preaching in the early church. It's the book of James. And notice the range of life situations addressed in this brief letter. Well, are we helping our people face trials? Pastor James does. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. James 1:4. Are we helping our people with their emotions? Pastor James does. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. James 1:19 and 20. Are we helping our people understand pure and faultless religion? Pastor James does. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. 1:27. Are we helping our people understand real mercy? Pastor James does. Mercy triumphs over judgment. 2:13. You get the idea. Track with James and notice the issues he addressed in the early church. We face the same sort of issues today: the need for wisdom, getting perspective on what's really important instead of coveting everything in sight, and appreciation of patience and the nature of faith. Will such an approach to preaching prove evangelistic? Well, can evangelism occur without evangelistic sermons? Well, feed your flock and see what happens. Healthy sheep beget more sheep. Continue to invite people to Christ while also inviting people to respond to the word they received, to humbly accept the word planted in you. James 1:21. Now, in our next session, we're going to look at this matter of pastoral care, especially as the pastoral counseling area has helped to shape seminary education. But today, concluding this session on pastoral care through preaching, the emphasis has been on being good shepherds. We're so grateful that Jesus is our good shepherd, that he says to us, as he does in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. He's that good shepherd who has laid down his life for us, his sheep.